are listening to the Minder Podcast.
Welcome to episode 33 of the Minder Podcast in association with Minder.org. I am your host, Paul Stenning. In this episode, we pay tribute to Andrew Payne and also give you a special exclusive mini interview with Colin Proctor, who played Stevie in Series 2's Caught in the Act Fact, as well as Reggie in a later episode. Firstly, I wanted to tell you all about the new Minder Annual, which is currently out via Confessions Press. Pete asked if I wanted to contribute, and I thought it was a good time to pay tribute to Andrew Payne. I also contributed a quiz to the annual. The annual is a real treat, very much in the style of the classic annuals from the 70s and 80s. Pete's done a very good job of capturing the presentation perfectly. In the annual, you will find some excellent artwork, a couple of fun quizzes, a few comic strips, as well as several articles. They have drawn together some of the best pieces from the course of Minder history. There is even a story from Tony Hoare in there. Unless you are a collector of vintage TV magazines, and I know at least two people listening who are, then the chances are you will not have seen some of the material in there. And did I mention I wrote some new material for the book? With that in mind, what I thought I would do is read my tribute with the obligatory clips to give you the full SP and pay homage in a second way. So here we go, the remarkable Andrew Payne. The remarkable Andrew Payne, Highbury Fields Forever. The wonderful Andrew Payne passed away on January 12th this year. He was 74. As you might know if you've heard the Minder podcast, I was fortunate enough to have an extended interview with Andrew in 2022. This came in two parts and was a real coup as he was such a great writer for the show. Many other writers have passed away, several long before Andrew, but he was still going strong. I commented at the time how amazing he looked for his age, and he also told me of looking after elderly parents, so the Payne family had very good genes. Therefore, I was very surprised to hear of his passing. Andrew was such a great writer and a very decent bloke, who I am proud to have interviewed for this show. We also kept in touch, which was a real privilege. He also had recently contributed to our Leon Griffiths tribute, for which I was very thankful. The Minder podcast and the interview with Andrew was quoted in his obituary in The Guardian. I think he would have approved. Andrew wrote 12 Minder episodes altogether, including the feature-length Minder on the Orient Express. Only Tony Hoare and Leon Griffiths himself wrote more for the show. Between the three writers are some of the most iconic and greatest television ever to appear on screen. Payne's episodes stretch across the first seven series. Here are my five favourites. Number 5. You Need Hands, Series 3, Episode 2. A terrific cast includes Julian Holloway and Mike Reed, who really could have played in further episodes as the amusing and food-obsessed Vernon. Though the main story is a solid, gritty tale of diamonds and heroin, along with Terry's broken hand, it is his temporary replacement Minder Vernon who steals the show with his insistence upon old-school gangster manners and appreciation of the finer things in life, much to Arthur's eventual distaste. The stakeout scene in the car and the climax to the episode is one of the finest in Minder history.
People converge from miles around to delight in a salmon en croûte in pastry crust as light as a feather and subtle herb cream sauce.
In fact, people do so much converging, they're usually fully booked down at the last damn sarnie.
How was I to know there was an agricultural fair on?
Still, we got to the meet nice and early. 5 hours early. I tell you, anyone asks me about investing in diamonds, they get a very short answer.
The proprietor suggests hazelnut and bramble meringue.
Will you shut up?
Oh, sorry, Mr. Wren.
Oh, he's not been in. He's left no messages. And her indoor has been on a blower 3 times already.
Listen, if he does get in touch, tell him to phone me immediately. It's urgent, right? Got it? Come on. It's serious, Dave.
I've got to see a man about a dog.
You want me to go with him, Mr. M?
That's very kind of you, Vernon, but I am one of those people who can't do it while he's being watched.
The main road's a long way off, Daly, and even if you find it, you'll be too late.
You think I'm going to do a Captain Oates? Well, I'm coming back to this nice warm car, even if I do have to share it with you two.
Number 4, Willesden Suite, Series 4, Episode 8. There are several layers to this one, with multiple storylines at play. Only Rhys Dinsdale's terrible, though thankfully brief, performance makes it farcical, although Sally Jane Jackson is not everyone's cup of tea. By the way, she now lives in Seattle, and she's called Sally Villardi. Her role as a model down from Liverpool is essential to bring out Terry's ambivalence, which turns into protectiveness, a nice touch to the rather complex character of Terry, which can turn in an instant. The setting of the Haven Lodge Hotel, now Olive's, works perfectly for Arthur's foray into selling cheap goods to the dodgy manageress, but it is Terry's bond with Sue, played by Susan Kidd, I've Got Form, that carries this highly enjoyable episode.
Excuse me, sir?
Yeah?
I'm Terry McCann.
Oh, the new security officer.
Yeah, apparently, yeah.
Well, I'll show you your cupboard.
Cupboard?
You'll find out. 5 minutes, Mary.
And now I have to go to meet several of the local Rotarians in the bar. They hold their weekly luncheons here, so I have to keep them sweet. Will you excuse me?
I was just about to suggest that we have a quick one to cement our new relationship.
Well, all right. And, Arthur, I'd rather you didn't discuss the exact nature of our dealings with any of the Rotary members, all right?
Say no more, Norma. Stand on me.
Nice, very nice.
Cozy, isn't it?
Phew. Still, it's only for a couple of nights, I suppose. Listen, I've had the official story in our What's Her Face, Norma. But what really goes on here?
I'm sure Mrs. Bates gave you the full picture.
Oh, I see. Yeah, she told me that the most important thing was spying on the staff. But for what it's worth, that's not my style.
What the hell? I don't care if she knows what I think anymore. The main thing about this place is that it barely pays its way. It hasn't been fully booked since it was built. The owner lives in Spain, and the rumour is he'd love to sell it, but there aren't any takers. Bates is as tight-fisted as they come, and we're hopelessly understaffed. We haven't had an assistant manager for a month. Most of the domestic staff are English language students without work permits, and if people stay here, they've either made a mistake or their firms have booked them in. Now, if you ask me, Bates is screwing what she can out of it before the whole thing falls apart at the seams.
Why'd you stick it?
Haven't you been out on the streets lately? The unemployed are standing around in small groups of 500,000. And anyway, I've got form.
Do what?
Youthful indiscretion with a good-looking car thief. Doesn't look good on job applications.
No, I know.
I see.
Well, do you get time off for a drink now and then?
Now and then. Pick up the phone and ask for reception.
Yeah, I will.
I'll buzz you if the Rotary Club start a riot in the cocktail bar.
Number 3, Back in Good Old England, Series 3, Episode 12. Beautifully captures the essence of the traditional Englishman who goes abroad in order to make it, and then returns to brag of his success, even if that success is completely fictitious. What follows is the perfect inside job for a robbery, with oily Jack Rag Pete Postlethwaite marked as a wrong un early on by Arthur. There is a serious and melancholy undertone throughout, marked with indispensable humour, not least the scene at the dock which marks the point of Jack's escape. We're only hiring it, we don't want to buy it, says Arthur when he hears the price for the boat.
See that tilt over there? That's where my old school was, eh? Right by that roundabout. Or was it the other street down?
Jacko, what's up?
How do you mean?
Well, we spent 3 hours in the Duke's Head, which was nice, I admit. And we've been all over West London only to establish that your favourite Chinese takeaway is now a sex shop. Well, what's occurring?
Point taken, mi amigo, point taken. Yeah, well, if you haven't got the time to spend a day, you know, wandering around with an old friend, well...
That's not what I mean, and you know it. Listen, you're putting something off, aren't you?
Always was perceptive, I tell. Straight to the heart of the matter. That's you. All right. See that flat up there? The one with the green door, number 86?
Yeah, what about that?
Well, that's where the old wife was living when I come out of Scrubs. You know, before I'd done a bank to Spain. I just want to find out if she's still there. I want you to go there, tell, knock on the door, and tell her that I'm still around.
She's gonna love that, isn't she?
Oh, just break it to her easy, Tell. I don't want no trouble, no fuss. Just want to talk, that's all. Go on, my son. Number 86.
You haven't come for me telly, have you?
No.
I thought not. That's usually Fridays.
Look, I don't mean to be rude or anything like that, but have you lived here long?
5 years.
So I suppose you don't know anybody called Eileen Ragg, do you?
Oh, yes. She married the man from the Prune. He still comes round. Done very well, she has. Lives on the other side of the green now.
Jacko, she's married to someone else.
That means she's divorced me.
Well, yeah, that's what it sounds like, doesn't it?
Well, without so much as a buy your leave.
Oh, to be fair, look, you were inside for 5 years, you did a straight bunk to Spain for 3. I mean, what more do you expect, eh?
Oh, I just wanted to talk to her, Till. But how'd you divorce me?
Look, the best thing you can do is leave it alone, right?
Yeah.
Now, where to? Come on.
Uxbridge. I've got to meet my partner.
Number 2, Senior Citizen Kane, Series 4, Episode 2. Andrew Payne certainly wrote some of the more incredible and incredulous episodes, but that is what makes them all the more unique, in fact, magic. No other writer could have produced an episode like this. With the marvellous Lionel Jeffries as Cecil Kane, and a wonderful supporting cast, this was always going to be special. The budget seemed to stretch to a wealth of extras, and some special filming locations too, but the essential plot of an old geezer trying not to knock his pipe out whilst doing a runner with his assistant and desperately trying to keep his family's hands off his money is sheer genius. The side plot includes Jock, James Cosmo, the backstreet club owner, drinking whiskey with his cornflakes, and causing Arthur's alcoholic sleep. Recently, my wife got to speak with Mr. Cosmo and asked whether he was inspired by the episode, seeing as he's just created his own whiskey, without an E, that is. He does not credit the episode with the inspiration, but loved appearing in it nevertheless.
Do you see that, Christine?
Which one's that?
Long blonde job.
Oh, yeah.
Think I'm in there.
Kerry, we are attending a funeral.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
Well, it's no time to be after a bit of the other. What's she say?
Things are happening quicker than I thought. You eyeball that doctor they come up with. A right straitjacket merchant of Oboe, I saw one. Oh, come on. I've got to do this on my own.
Well, Terry, help Mr. Kane.
You're interested in gainful employment, Terence?
Well, as it happens, I'm well busy at the moment.
Yeah, we're pretty full up at the moment, Cecil. Modest endeavours, but our own.
Don't want to get involved with a barmy old geezer like me, eh, Terence?
Something like that, yeah.
T
Terence, how can you say such a thing? Always got time for an old friend, Cecil.
Right. Give us your address, Terry. Paper on the desk.
Oh, I'll do it.
Hold on, Arthur, hold on.
No, it's all right. I know your address.
I don't want to get involved.
Now. Here we are.
Give a geriatric an even break, eh, Terence?
That is right, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's been gone 5 minutes, and I can't see that dodgy friend of yours daily anywhere.
Oh, bloody hell. Right. Time to blow.
I'll open the door for you.
No, not the door, not the door. You couldn't joke.
It's locked. Where's the key?
Right. Take your time. Shitty bar.
Where's the key? Where's the key?
He said take your time.
Terry.
Just coming. I was just saying, one moment he was there, and then he was the most extraordinary behaviour.
Where's the gun, Dave?
Oi, that ain't gonna get you anywhere, pal.
Yeah, that sounds like death in a bike.
Johnny, a word. Johnny, now that we're in bed together, business-wise, look, I promise you I shall do everything in my power to help stand on me.
That's exactly what I will do, Dally, if you'll get my old man in. Stop!
Now, cross the thought from your mind, Johnny. Excuse me. Terry.
Goodbye, Mr. Daly.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Mr. McCann.
Yeah, tell her. Bye-bye, Johnny.
Number 1. Goodbye, Sailor. Series 5, Episode 1. Series 4 had ended with one of the weaker episodes, though still decent, so to start the new series with such a classic was a real treat for Minder fans. Francis McGahee directed several of the top 5, and it's important to note his part in making these episodes really come to life. For Goodbye Sailor, this meant a location shoot, Bucklers Hard in Hampshire, as well as the Isle of Wight, which stands out and truly captures the detailed plot. Ultimately, Terry ensures the gang evade any wrongdoing by chucking their smuggled goods overboard, a typical Minder scene of having gone a bit too far with a dodgy deal. This episode has a scintillating cast, including one of Ray Winston's best Minder episodes. Is there a more memorable line than "It's the River Filth"? And terrific parts from Sarah Berger, Murray Watson, Reginald Marsh, and of course a Chisholm special. Arthur's suggestion of a non-slip deck shoe for the yachting fraternity and his unconvincing attempts to be one of the private club toffs is perfectly balanced. The type of scene that may not have looked much on paper, but the foresight of the writer, along with expert acting, makes the scene so memorable. Then there is George Cole's greatest ever drunk performance, when he falls face down in the cabin before emerging in the morning needing a drink to get him going again. Absolute perfection. Wonderful from start to finish, and quite possibly the best Minder episode. Or was it number 2? I can never decide. Andrew Payne's credits truly represent the very best of Minder episodes, which is one reason why he was so regularly employed as a writer for the show. Down to earth and soul to the earth, just like his episodes, Andrew Payne was essential to the Minder pantheon. For more information on the annual and to see where to purchase, please go to the Minder Podcast website for this episode. On to Colin Proctor. I contacted Colin directly after tracking down his details and was lucky enough to receive a reply. Most people are not so honest, so full credit to Colin for what he said. Dear Mr. Stenning, my apologies for the delay in replying to your request. I'm very flattered by your interest, but I've thought about it, and I'm afraid that I really don't have the energy. Sorry to disappoint, but I don't think that I'd be able to sustain bright eyes and bushy tail for that long. With the best of good wishes, Colin Proctor. Now, you may know by now that I see such honesty in a good way, but also that I think, well, if he replied, he might at least say something about appearing in Minder. So I went back to him and asked whether he might answer some questions via email. Instead of waiting for those questions, he came back to me fairly quickly with a nice reply instead. I was cast in the very first episode of The Sweeney as a young tearaway with the IQ of a cracked teapot. The character was called Stupid Hawes. My authentic portrayal of idiocy obviously made a great impression on director Terry Green, for he cast me as a similarly cerebrally challenged youth called Stevie in Minder. Stevie was hired by Arthur to carry out one of his surefire money-making enterprises. The scam, a well-known and oft-practiced con, involved persuading children to surrender their parents' clothes in exchange for a boil-in-the-bag goldfish. Stevie was to bag up these goldfish, get in a van, and patrol the estate, belting out the cry, "Old clothes for fish, old clothes for fish." My first scene involved Arthur and Stevie behind a tank full of goldfish, with Arthur tutoring Stevie in the art of catching and bagging. It was a straightforward scene. Arthur offered his advice, walked out of shot, and left me dipping a tentative hand in the tank. Cut. We rehearsed a couple of times, conversation, exit Arthur, dip hands in tank, cut, until, satisfied that all was well, Terry called for a take, and action. Chat, 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 Arthur out of shot, me dipping tentative hand, and completely unexpectedly George Cole walked back into shot. "Oh," he said, "any dead ones on the top, Stevie, save them. I can claim on the insurance." Thank heavens that I didn't corpse. The crew didn't laugh either, and Terry hadn't called cut, for it made the final edit. George Cole was a diamond geezer.
25. You don't want a receipt, do you? Just a minute. Haven't you forgotten something?
No, I don't think so.
The 2 1/4 from the punter you delivered the car to.
That, no. He said you had a different arrangement, and I figured it wasn't my place to argue. Bad payer, is he? What you need's a good debt collector. Now, for 25%, I'm your man.
By the way, your big end's going.
Now, all you have to do, you see, is just half fill one of these bags with water. Like that.
And then you just... Well, you just take one of the fish, pop it in a bag. And then take one of these pins, tack it up on that board. Dead easy.
Why didn't you pick a fish out, Arthur?
Allergy, Stevie. Allergy. If any part of my body is touched by a naked fish, bang, all down my left side. Very uncomfortable. Won't go away for 3 weeks.
No. Yeah, well, I'll give it a try.
Shh.
Stevie. Yeah, well, I'll give it a try. And how many do you want?
Well, let's say 100 to start with, eh? At what, 10p a piece? Oh, that's a tenner. Shouldn't take you more than half hour. Look, say 200 to be going on with.
Do me, Arthur.
Right, good, good. There you are. When you completed that, we'll talk about the second phase of the operation, OK? Stevie, any you find floating on the top, leave them there. I can claim on the insurance.
So, a great email from Colin, and nice to be able to include him in some fashion on the podcast. As he said, he was in the first Sweeney episode, as well as 2 Minder episodes from the classic era. Here's a quiz question for you. There were several guest actors who appeared in the first Sweeney episode, who were later in Minder. It's quite a hard question as several of them were very small parts, though there were some big names and bigger parts. See who you thought of. Ready? The names are June Brown, Ray Mort, Tony Palmer, Peter Braham, Angus Mackay, and Brian Blessed. The episode was also directed by Terry Green, who coincidentally directed Caught in the Act Fact. So this episode, the one in which Stevie appeared, was episode 12 from series 2 of Minder, and it's one of my favourite episodes. It would definitely be in the top 20, and I enjoy going back to it quite often. The Colin Proctor character is very much a side story in the overall plot. Unfortunately, both Glyn Houston and Angela Brown, who play the main characters, have now both passed away. But I think this episode works because it is quite unusual and complex, a very different type of storyline written by Tony Hoare. But what do you know? It's another episode from him that is based on a real life story in person, but more about that in a future episode. For now, I will close this episode by telling you there are some great guests already recorded for future shows, and I will hopefully be more frequent with the next lot of episodes. It's difficult at present with my workload, which is why there was no episode for July. Which is a shame, because this July saw 3 years since I began the podcast. So happy anniversary anyway. I would like to thank you all for listening over the past 3 years, and especially those of you who've written in with words of encouragement and suggestions. Please do keep writing in, as it's nice to hear from you, even if you have written in before. And a huge welcome also to the many new listeners who've come in, especially in the last year. For now, thanks for listening.